number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. Amen. I think we got all the announcements out the way. And if I didn't, you'll have to read the bulletin. Amen. Amen. But don't forget to pray for these. They several. I know Brother Jerry's got some requests, and I know Miss Gladys's brother come through his surgery all right. Is he home yet? Is he still? He come home yesterday. Continue to pray for them. Pray for all these. Bear one another's burdens. Pray for the Hubbards are out of town. Different people's fighting sickness, flu's going on. But God's still good, amen. And Jesus is still alive, and he's still on the throne, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. And I'll just read one verse for sake of time and to get us started this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. I want you to look in verse number 15. The Bible said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, I do love you, and we thank you, God, for your goodness. God, we need you this morning. We're a needy people. God, there's people here this morning that are weary. They're downtrodden. They're discouraged. They need some encouragement. There's people here this morning that are lost. They've never been saved. They've never truly been born again into the family of God. And I pray today you might show them their need. And then not only show them the need, but show them, Lord, the one that can fill that need, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, especially them that believe. God, I pray for them, God. In Jesus' name, they be saved before it be too late. I pray for whatever the need may be today, God, that you'd have your will and way. And I pray you'd meet with us. We want to thank you for Jesus, most of all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Paul here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, he's writing to the church of Corinth, a Gentile church. They're not necessarily a Jewish body of people, but he's writing to them and he's challenging them to financially support, and he's talking to them about giving financially to support the church back in Jerusalem. He's challenging them on their giving, and he's sharing some motives and some reasons why we give. Now, don't get scared. Don't breathe too hard. Don't have a heart attack. I'm not planning on preaching on giving this morning, amen? But Paul was encouraging us, and no doubt as Christians we ought to be willing to give, amen? We ought to be, hey, God's been good to us. But, hey, God not necessarily has given us orders to give more than he's just given us an opportunity to give. It's called grace. We give because of the grace of God. Sure, there's a mandate to tithe, but hey, it's more than that. It's not just orders. It's an opportunity to give back what God has given to us. And so Paul is writing, and he's trying to talk to the church of Corinth, and he's giving them some reasons and some motives why we give. But then there he gets down to the end of it after he's talking about some things that will happen when you give. And then verse 15, he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Now, you study this passage and you'll find that he wasn't talking about something that was material, but when he's talking about his unspeakable gift, no doubt the Apostle Paul unmistakably is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We preached last Sunday on God's gift to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We started last week preaching on the greatest Christmas gift ever given. And we talked about last week in John 3:16, God's gift to you is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to pick up on that thought today, and I'm going to preach on this thought with the Lord's help, the gift that keeps on giving. The gift that keeps on giving. You'll see where I'm going here in just a minute. You know, you've probably gotten gifts. We've probably, as a child, especially some of you as adults, you see something, you want something, you're very much desiring of an object or some type of material good, and you say, this is what I want for Christmas. How many's got a wish for Christmas? You want something. The rest of you's lying, amen. You want something for Christmas. It doesn't matter if it's a woman and she wants a gift card for $500 to the shopping mall, or a big diamond ring, or that man wants that 30-06, amen. Hey man, that Remington 30-06. Y'all all right with that? Hey man, or whatever it may be, you've got a desire. But how many of y'all, honestly, you would think that back through your life, you're going to look, especially back when you were a child, you wanted something, man, you might have had that Sears wish book, man, and that's exactly what it was. It wasn't a get book, it was a wishing book, amen? And you're just looking at it and wishing and drooling. And how many of you, hey, you got a gift that you really wanted, and you played with it, you looked at it, you you fooled with it there for a week, couple weeks, but after a while, you've forgotten about that gift.
Amen. That gift, after a while, that gift, you didn't really value that gift anymore. That gift lost. Man, I remember one time, I wanted a remote control car. And I got that remote control car. It was a race car. I run that thing all over the place. But you know what happened? I don't have no idea today where that race car is. I have no idea. You know what? Eventually it broke. Amen. Y'all with me? Eventually it broke. And I lost it. I have no idea where it's at today. It lost its value. Hey, you get gifts all the time. Materially, people give us gifts, and they don't really. Man, how many of you ever got a gift and you thought it was going to be great when you got it home and you started fooling with it and you realized it just wasn't what it was cracked up to be? Amen? Hey, I remember I've got a few like that, and you get a gift, and it's just not, hey, and it doesn't last. How many of you got a gift, man, you thought this was going to be great, and it broke the second day you had it, or sometimes the first day, amen, and you're all disappointed. Hey, I want to say to you this morning that God Almighty gave us a gift over 2,000 years ago, and he gave us the gift of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible said it's an unspeakable gift. When he gave his gift, not only was it a great thing to hear, the angels, they talked about how, hey, good news, hey, he said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Not only was it good news then, not only was it a great thing then, not only was Jesus a precious gift then, but I want to say that he was born there in a lowly manger. Hey, laid there. Hey, some 2012 years ago or so. Hey, but hey, I want to say that today he's just as precious as he was then. Today, he's the gift that keeps on giving. He wasn't just a gift. I was out. You see this? I got me some gifts, amen. I got a gift. I got a big old gift right here, amen. Merry Christmas. Amen. But I want to say that not only was he a gift that was given one time, but he's a gift that keeps on giving. Amen. He's a gift that all down through the ages, he continues to give and to give and to give and to give. Jesus is the one that gives. And so because he gives us life, we live. Because he's given us, hey, material things, we can turn around and bless other people with material things. Because he's given you talents, you can use them to serve him. God gives us things through the person of the Lord Jesus. The Bible speaks of this unspeakable gift. You know the word gift or gifts in the New Testament alone is used some 59 or 60 times. 59 or 60 times the word gifts is used or gift. We read in the Bible and we read where salvation is a gift. The Bible said in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith. That he said that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is a gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we all deserve because of all of sin and come short of the glory of God. You're sitting here this morning. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. We all were born in sin. Hey, and we all have a corruptible nature. We're all born destined to a devil's hell. But hey, that's the wages of sin. That's what we earn for sin is death. But the Bible comes in Romans 6:23 and says, but, hey, God butted in. Amen. Thank God. But, hey, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see the salvation gift. And then we see spiritual gifts for service. God enables every believer, every person that's ever trusted Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, 13, and 14, we won't read them all today, but you can go there and you can study where God gives everybody at least one gift, an ability to serve him. It may be the gift to preach. It may be the gift to give. It may be the gift of mercy. But somewhere along the line, God gives you some gift in order to serve him. There's the salvation gift. There's the spiritual gifts to serve. There are the servant gifts. In Ephesians chapter number 4, the Bible talks about how he gave some apostles and prophets and preachers and teachers. God gives preachers and those to lead the church. And the Bible speaks in Ephesians chapter 4:11 that your pastor, your preacher, is a gift to the local church. And then we see that not only did he give us this gift of salvation, not only give us spiritual gifts and servant gifts, but thank God, that's when he stepped in John 3:16 and gave us the gift of his precious son. You remember in John chapter number 4, Jesus met a little Samaritan woman down by the well one day. She was wicked, man. She'd been living in adultery. She'd been living in wicked lifestyle. And Jesus come to her. The Bible said he must need. He said, I must need. It was no accident. Jesus went there by divine appointment. Hey, before the world was laid out in order. Hey, God had an appointment that Jesus would meet that woman by the well that day. And Jesus said, I must needs go by Samaria. And he went down to Samaria and he met a little woman down there by the well living in sin. Hey, been married, I think the Bible said, 5 times. Hey, and the one she's living with now wasn't her husband. Hey, and Jesus said, hey, give me the drink. And she said, man, what are you, Jew, asking me, a Samaritan? She said, what are you asking me? He said, listen, lady, if you don't know who you're talking to, hey, listen, this is what he said in John 4:10. He said, if thou knew the gift of God. That's what he said. If you knew the gift of God, he said, in other words, he said, if you knew who I was, hey, honey, you wouldn't be asking why I'm talking to you. You'd ask me for a drink of water. And when you took a drink of this water, you'd never thirst again. Amen. Yeah, the gift of glory, Jesus Christ. Paul describes Jesus here as God's unspeakable gift. You know what a gift is? It's something that you present to others. It's like a present. It's something that you don't buy. Amen. Something you don't earn. But a gift is something that somebody willingly and voluntarily, amen, hey, gives to you. Amen. That's why we call it a gift. That word unspeakable, it literally means this. It means indescribable. Hey, it's something so good, something so wonderful that words cannot fully describe it. The human mind cannot fully comprehend it. The artist cannot truly lay out on the canvas that he draws and paints on the meaning. The poet cannot, hey, he cannot fully and truly, he cannot truly and fully overlay the vast worth and display it to his hearers. It's an unspeakable, indescribable gift. And when Paul looked at those Corinthians giver and they're wondering, why should we give? Why should we help somebody? He said, give thanks to God for his unspeakable gift. God's given you more in the precious Son of Jesus than you can shake a stick at, if I can put it in the country vernacular. Hey, I'm telling you, when God gave you Jesus, he gave you him and he gave you a whole lot more, amen. I want to say this morning, we got something to get excited about. We got something to shout about. We got a reason to sing. We got a song to sing. We got a reason to be happy. Hey, don't worry about them flowers. They'll be all right. Hey, amen. We'll pick them up later. Hey, amen. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Amen. Hey, but I'm telling you, Jesus Christ, hey, he's the gift of God to the world. Hey, he's the greatest gift, and he's the gift that keeps on giving. He is the gift that keeps on giving. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about all that Jesus, man, he's so much. God gave his son the greatest gift that's ever been given. And through him, sure we have salvation. Sure we have some of these spiritual gifts, but through Jesus, I want to say, hey, brother, hey, not only do we have Jesus, but because we have Jesus, we have a whole lot more. Right. Amen. I want to let this bag here represent Jesus. God gave me this bag. Amen. He gave me Jesus. Amen. Amen. And when I received Jesus, I got the gift. Amen.
Amen.
But because of Jesus, I got a whole lot more.
Yep.
Y'all with me? Because flip over to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. You go to Romans chapter number 5, and I'll just quote to you. From James chapter number 1, where James writes and he says, every good gift, listen now, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. He cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James said, every good gift and every perfect gift come from above. Amen? And God above, he sent us a gift. He gave us his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved by faith. Amen? We place our faith in the Lord Jesus and what he did at Calvary, and we're saved. We receive salvation. And when we receive salvation, I want to say there are some things that we receive. In verse number 1 of Romans chapter number 5, Paul said, hey, therefore being justified by faith, watch this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Number 1, I will say, number 1, the gift that keeps on giving, one of the first things he gives us, with along with Jesus, he gives us agreement. Agreement. So I can reach in this bag. I've been justified by faith. I've placed my faith in Jesus and he justified me, declared me righteous. And I reach in there and I say, man, it's good to be saved. And he says, yeah, you've got agreement with God. Hey, the Bible said in Romans chapter 5, you go on reading it, the Bible shows and talks about how before you're saved, you're an enemy of God. We're at enmity with God. We're at war. We're at odds. Hey, but hey, he said, now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of Jesus, because of what we got with the gift, amen. When you got Jesus, you got agreement with God. You're on the same side as God. We're no longer enemies. We are at agreement. We're at peace. We're in a harmonious relationship. Hey, it's at rest now. No more war. We've got agreement. I thank God for the agreement. You may be sitting here this morning and you're in turmoil. Hey, you don't know what the fuck. You say, man, I don't know what this is all about. I don't know what's going on. You don't know what you're facing. You don't know. I want to say this. Hey, it's a good possibility that the wages of your sin is wreaking in your heart. Amen. And God's dealing with you. And you don't like the way he wants you to go. You say, I don't want to change. I don't want to live my life like that. I don't want to live for Jesus. And God's saying, listen, if you'll just trust me by faith, he said, I got some agreement for you. You can reach down in the bag of Jesus and pull out some peace. Amen. Hey, I used to be nights, Brother Wayne, there used to be nights I'd lay my head on the pillow at night and I couldn't sleep. I couldn't think about what was going to happen if I didn't wake up. Didn't want to think about what was going to happen if Jesus came back. Hey, before I was ready, didn't want to think about what was, man, I used to look around. Every time it'd get quiet in the house, I'd go look around, make sure everybody was still there. Amen. Hey, I was afraid that Jesus didn't come back and took my family. I'd come home, nobody'd be there, and I'd get the call. After a while, I'd get the call on everybody in the family, wanting to make sure, hey, the rapture hadn't taken place, and I wouldn't had no peace with God. But now, honey, I got peace with God. I can lay down my head at night. Hey, I can lay down my head on a pillow at night, and I can sleep like a baby. I mean, if you leave me alone, I could probably sleep at least 6 or 8 hours. Amen. I could probably do it right now. Hey, man. Hey, but hey, thank God we get Jesus. We reach into the bag and we find agreement. Thank God for the peace of God. Somebody else shout amen, hey, about the peace of God. And be glad that therefore, hey, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But then I want to say this. Not only does he stop there, but he keeps on going. Verse number 2, he says, by whom we have, watch this, by whom we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Paul said, not only do you have peace, but now you have access. That word access, it means you have freedom to enter and to go into through the assistance or the favor of another. Now, before you got saved, if you're saved, and if you're not saved, before you were saved, you couldn't go to God on your own. God's a holy God. He's separate from sin. You and I were born in sin. We're sinners. You had no access to God. And the only way you'll ever get to God is through Jesus. Through Jesus. But he said, when you trust Jesus, now you've got access to the Father. You've got access, watch this, you've got freedom to enter in. You've got freedom to go in. How? Hey, you've got freedom, watch this, right here in verse number 2. By faith, hey, you have access into this grace. We have access into grace. John 10:9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he said he shall go in and out and find good pasture. Amen. Hey, you go in and out and find pasture if you're in the Lord Jesus. So I'm going to reach down in this bag and I'm going to reach down in here and I'm going to grab a little access. Amen. Hey, now I've got access. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Hey, when I've got a need now, hey, according to Hebrews chapter number 4, I've got a high priest. I don't have one that can't be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points he was tempted. Hey, in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. I've got access to the throne of grace. I can go to him this morning. Amen. Hey, I've got a father. Hey, there's a lot of people think God's everybody's dad. Hey, God ain't everybody's. Everybody ain't God's children. If you don't know Jesus, I will say John 14:6, still in the book. Hey, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't go in the Jehovah Witness way. You don't go in the Catholic way. Hey, look up here. You don't go the Baptist way. You don't go the Muslim way. It ain't in Hare Krishna. It ain't in Muhammad. It ain't in Baal. Hey, the only way to God is through the precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But in him, we have access. We go in and out. Hey, we have access into the grace. We have access. Man, I got so many scriptures, I ain't going to read them all. Hey, Ephesians 2:18 and Ephesians 3:12. Hey, we've got access unto the Father. Hebrews 10:19 talks about we have a new and living way. We've got a way of access through the precious Jesus Christ. Hey, the precious Son Jesus, he shed his blood, and by his blood and his death, he knocked the wall down. He tore the veil in two, and he rent it from top to bottom. That's God opening up the door for man to come in, and he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Thank God you can reach in the bag and you get some access. But I want to say number 3, not only that, if you go down there to verse number 9 in Romans 5, he says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Watch verse 11. In verse 11, he says, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement. I got some atonement in this bag. In Jesus, I can reach down in there. Man, there's all kinds of stuff in this bag. I've got agreement with God. I've got access to God, and now I've got atonement from God. Some of them sitting there like, what's atonement mean? Just go back in the Old Testament. You'll read the Old Testament. In Leviticus, God had it set up where his law dictated what man should do, and nobody was able to keep that law. But God had some priests, and every year the high priest He would offer up a sacrifice. You can go back to Leviticus chapter 1 through 9, and you can read about the sacrifices that were made. And every year, once a year, on a special day, every year, it was called the Day of Atonement, that priest would take a lamb. He'd take that animal, that spotless animal. They would fine-tooth and comb inspect that animal and make sure it was just right. He would kill that lamb, and he would sacrifice that lamb, and then he would take that lamb, and he would go into what's called the holy place, and he would make his way past the holy place into what is known as the Holy of Holies. He would take that blood, and he would put it on the mercy seat. The mercy seat, it was a big box there called the Ark of the Covenant, and the Ark of the Covenant, it had inside of it the testament or the law of God. It had the law there, what we call the Ten Commandments. The law that was on stones was in that box. And that law condemned man. That law showed man he was guilty. That law showed man that he didn't deserve a relationship with God. That law showed man that he deserved to die. But every year, that sacrifice, that priest, he would take that blood. And he would take that blood, and that mercy seat was over top of that Ark of the Covenant. And he would pour that blood out on that mercy seat. And when God saw that, hey, they had done exactly what he asked, and he was pleased with the blood of that lamb, the glory of God would fill the Holy of Holies. And that was the Day of Atonement. And what that did was every year for the people of Israel, first he would offer up the sacrifices for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, the Bible said. And the priest would do that once a year on the Day of Atonement. And it didn't, listen, it did not remove sin. It covered sin. In other words, if they were placing their faith in God and what he had told them to do, and they had obeyed him, God said, all right, I'm pleased with the blood of atonement, and he would be satisfied for another year. But see, the next year would roll around, and they'd have to do it again. And the next year would roll around, and they'd have to do it again. And the next year would roll around, and they'd have to do it again. But one day, there's a fellow named John the Baptist going down the street, and he looks yonder, and he's got some fellows with him, and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. I'm telling you this morning, hey, that Old Testament, year after year, they covered the sin. But in the New Testament, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, came. And he didn't just cover sins. Look up here. Your sins aren't just covered. They're not just, hey, looked over. Hey, your sins are gone. Look up in here. Jesus said, wash your sins away. He's given you what we call the atonement. The word's only used one time in the New Testament. It's the idea, the word means the exchange or to change. And that's what he's talking about here in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8, he said, we have received, in Jesus Christ, we have received the atonement. You've received the atonement. Now I'm talking about a gift that keeps on giving. Hey, this is a word, it indicates an adjustment or a difference that's been made. Hey, it's a word that's much akin to, in our New Testament, the word propitiation. The word propitiation in 1 John 2:2 talks about Jesus as our propitiation. In other words, God's righteous holy law demands something of us. It demands the holiness of God. But you and I, hey, look up in the mirror, hey, I ain't going to meet the righteousness of God. Hey, look at me. I ain't good enough to meet those demands. So God sent Jesus, and Jesus shed his blood and died for you and I. And now he is the propitiation. It's a big word that means this. He's the satisfaction for a holy God. He satisfied the righteous demands of a three-time holy God. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And so now when you come to the Lord Jesus, he is your atonement. Hey, sinners can be made at one with God. We're no longer enemies. We're no longer outcasts. We're no longer aliens. He changes us. He exchanges our sin for Christ's righteousness. The Bible said over there in, I think it's 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he said, he had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He exchanged, he changed us, he reconciled us. God didn't change, he changed us. Amen. See, God ain't the one that ran off and left us, amen. We ran off and left him. So this word, reconciliation denotes the process by which God changes us. This word atonement has the idea of the complete picture. He's atoned for your sins. He's satisfied God. It denotes the total significance of what Christ's death means for the believer. It's the idea that the payment has been paid in full. If I can get you to see this, you owe God. You owe God. As a sinner, you owed God in order to satisfy him the ability to keep his law. And you can't do it. All have sinned and come short of the glory. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. But when Jesus came on the scene, and he shed his blood, Hey, the blood and the death of the Lord Jesus says the price has been paid. It says God is now satisfied. His righteous demands have been met. And through him and by him, you can reach down in the bag of Jesus, the gift that keeps on giving, and you can find atonement. I thank God for atonement. Amen. If you'll trust Jesus this morning, you don't have to worry about your sins, past, present, or future. If you'll just trust what Jesus did on the cross over 2,000 years ago, that he died, that he was buried, that he rose again. If you'll trust what he did for you on your behalf because of your sins and mine, and you'll by faith trust him, you can reach down in the bag and you can say, I've got some atonement. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. In the book of life, they've all been cast out. Amen. Thank God for atonement. But let me say this, if you want to flip over to Ephesians chapter number 1, not only do we have agreement and access and atonement, but I thank God you can reach down in the bag. And well, I like this, you're going to like this. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 6, it says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. And I'm reaching down in this bag. And man, I done got all kinds of good stuff. Man, I done got agreement. I done got access. I done got, man, that's right. There's enough to shout, now the kingdom come. And then I reach down in here, and I find some acceptance. Amen. Acceptance. It says it's to Lachelle. Amen. Hallelujah. But thank God it's to Lachelle, it's to Travis, it's to Brother Wayne, it's to whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. And when we're in him, when you're born again, he said in verse number 6, he's made us accepted in the beloved. There's some people that don't feel like they've ever been accepted anywhere. There's some people that think they're outcasts, they're rejects, nobody wants nothing to do with them. God says if you'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll come to me, he said it by faith, he said, I'll accept you. Can I say that word acceptance? It's the idea, it means to grace or to bestow or to endow someone with grace. It literally means to be made accepted and highly favored. Jesus talked, you go over in Luke chapter 1 and the description of the Mother Mary, she's highly favored. She was accepted. God accepted her. Hey, in Christ, you and I, by faith, we've been placed in Christ, in the beloved, and through him and by him, you and I are accepted. Not of anything you've done. It doesn't matter where you grew up, where you was born, how much money you got in your pocket. You could have come, look up here. You could have came from the wrong side of the tracks. You could have come out from underneath the tracks, underneath a rock, out of a skid row. Out of the gutter, out of the bum, out of the deepest, darkest prison cell. It don't matter what color you are, how much money you got in your pocket, how bad you've been. Look up in here. When you come to God through Jesus Christ, he said, I'll make you accepted in the blood. Amen. Yeah, he said, I'll take you. He said, it doesn't matter if you're okay. If you'll come by faith, he said, you'll trust my son Jesus. He said, I'm making you accepted in the blood. Can I say John 1? He said, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the son, gave you the power to become the Son of God. Don't say it like this. When you receive Jesus Christ by faith, God accepts us on the merits of Jesus Christ. If I can illustrate this quickly, if you was to read the, man, I'm knocking everything over this morning. If you was to read the book of Philippians, or Philemon. Philemon is a story where Paul, man, it's a real personal letter, but Paul had met this fellow named Onesimus. He was a slave to a fella named Philemon. And Paul is writing a letter to Philemon on the behalf of the runaway slave, Onesimus, who'd run away from Philemon. And now he meets up with Paul down at the prison. And Paul, the preacher now, he most likely led Onesimus to the Lord. And now Onesimus is going back to Philemon. He says, I don't know how to go. Matter of fact, Philemon probably could have killed him in that day. But Paul writes him a letter and he says, listen, this is basically, you can go back and read, I think it's Philemon, verses somewhere around 16, 17, right in there. And Paul says, receive him just like you would receive me, basically what he said. He said, and if he owes, I'll just read you exactly what he said so I don't get you confused. In Philemon, Paul wrote, he said, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. So Paul's saying about this beggar, I mean this guy that, hey, he deserves punishment. A slave. Paul writes a letter about him to his friend Philemon that was the owner of Onesimus. And Paul said, receive him as myself. Paul said, in other words, make him accepted in me. Because he's friends with me, you ought to accept him back, Philemon. It's a great illustration of what God's saying in here. You and I, we don't deserve to be accepted by a holy God. If you knew me as well as God knew me, you'd probably throw me in the trash, burn it down, and coat it with gasoline. Amen? Hey, the rest of y'all goody-goody two-shoes need to get over yourself because you don't deserve it either. Hey, man, but God sees Jesus. Can I say that when you come to Jesus, when you get in him, you get the gift. When he looks at you, he don't see you for you. He don't see your past. He sees Jesus, amen. He sees the precious blood. And so he reaches in and you can find some acceptance. Can I say, if you're an outcast and you think you don't have a friend in the world, hey, I want to say to you this morning, God will accept you if you'll receive the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only is there acceptance in this bag, but I want to say this, there's accompaniment in this bag. You say, what's accompaniment? Well, accompaniment is it's a companionship. It's a friendship. John chapter number 14, the Lord Jesus is preparing his disciples for when he goes away. And in John chapter number 14, verse number 16, the Lord Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. He's talking about this Holy Ghost. He said there in verse number 26 of John chapter number 14, he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I said unto you. He said in chapter number 15, in verse number 26, he said, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds. You know what he's saying? Listen, Jesus said, when I leave this body, this world in my body, he said, I'm leaving. He said, but I'm sending the Holy Ghost. I'm sending the Comforter. And to everyone that calls on the name of the Lord and believes in, he said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit of God to dwell and to live within you. He said, he's been with you. He said, but he shall be in you. So you can reach down in this bag. You think there's anything else in this bag? You can reach down in this bag. Jacob, I found me some accompaniment. You say, yeah, I've had friends that said they'd be with me. Wait a minute now. He said, Hebrews 13:5, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. You'll never find a friend like that. Hey, the psalmist said, hey, his mother and his father may forsake him. Your best friends may forsake you, but if you're saved this morning, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got the Holy Ghost, hey, when you've got Jesus. And if you don't have him, you don't have Jesus, amen. Right. Romans chapter 8 says, any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. None of his. But when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit, you've got an accompaniment. Hey, you've got a friendship, you've got a companion, somebody that will be with you forever and ever and ever. And ever, and he's not going to leave you alone. I want you to flip with me to 1 John chapter number 5. I'm almost done. I'm going quick as I can. 1 John chapter number 5. And I was reaching around down in this bag, Brother Wayne, and I was looking around, and I found something else in this bag. Over in 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13. In 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 13, I reached down in there, and it said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And I said, what is that about that? When God saved me, he gave me some assurance. Amen. Amen. He gave me the ability through the Scriptures and by the Holy Spirit to know. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm saved. Can I say you can be saved this morning? You can know it. Hey, you can be confident. You can be confident that you're saved. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done since I got saved. No, but I know the one that's keeping you. The Bible says in Jude 24, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless. Amen. He said, he's able to present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Amen. With exceeding joy. Hey, Paul wrote to the Philippian church over there in Philippians 1, verse number 6. He said, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you, he will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm saying when you got saved, you don't have to go around hoping so, wanting so, working so. Amen. Can I say if you're working for your salvation, you might as well quit and just trust Jesus because the work's already been done.
That's right.
Amen. You say, well, I'll come to God when I clean up. Look up in here. You ain't going to clean up enough to impress God. Just trust Jesus. The work's already done. It's not about what you do. It's about what Jesus already been done. Hey, and when you trust him, he'll give you some assurance. He wants you to have that confidence. Paul wrote over there to Timothy, and he said, I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So we find assurance. We find the confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that when you're saved, you can be saved, you can know it, and you'll be saved eternally. Hey, the writer of Hebrews in 7:25, he wrote this, and he said, therefore he's able to save them to the uttermost. The uttermost, that means he's able to save them from now until the end of time. He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Wherefore, he says, seeing he liveth, making intercession for them. Thank God I found me in this bag. I found me some assurance. But now I've reached around in this bag, and I got over our brother Eric to 2 Peter in chapter number 1, and I was looking around there, and he said, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things, that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through us. I was thinking about that. He's done gave me agreement, Brother Rodney. He gave me access. He gave me atonement. He gave me acceptance. He gave me assurance. And on top of all that, I was looking down in there, and he gave me abundance. He gave me abundance. You say, what do you mean? Well, he gave me all that stuff. That's enough. Yeah. But then he said, I give you all things that pertain to life and godliness. Hey, it might be a little grace. Might be a little mercy. Hey, he said, I'm giving you all things. He said, you might need some wisdom. He said, I got that too. He said, you're going to need righteousness and peace. He said, man, there's some good stuff down in his bag. He said, man, you might even need a little material goods once in a while. He said, I can supply all your needs.
Right.
Man, he said, every once in a while, you might get to thinking about it. Wow. Where's some kids at? He said, watch this. He said, you might get to thinking about how good God's been to you in salvation. He said, every once in a while, it might just get sweet down in there. Hey, he said, it just might get real good and sweet. You might start thinking about how good God and everything God did to you. Everything God did for you, hey, when you got saved, and you're thinking about the precious blood of Jesus that washed all your sins away. Hey, you're thinking about, hey, how good forgiveness was. You're thinking about, hey, that he's a friend that never leaves you, never forsakes you. He takes care of you. Take one down and pass it around. Hey, every once in a while, you start thinking about, hey, the goodness of God. Hey, come here, help me, son. Hey, pass some things out. You start thinking about how good God's been to you. Hey, you start thinking about, hey, take him and pass him out. Amen. Hey, and God just dumps out. Hey, he just dumps out a bucket of honey once in a while. Hey, pass him out.
Amen.
Brother Wayne, I'm telling you, when you got Jesus, you got Jesus and you got a whole lot more.
Amen.
You can't outgive God. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, he gives you scriptures. He gives you a book, tell you all about it.
Amen.
I'm telling you, hey, God has given you, listen, an unspeakable, indescribable gift. And it's not, hey, it's not just a bunch of facts to study and to memorize. Hey, this right here is a life to be enjoyed. I don't regret one time that January the 10th, 1999, I bowed down at an old-fashioned altar and asked the Lord Jesus to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life, and to be my Lord and my Savior. Not one second have I doubted. Not one second have I wished I'd never done it. Not one second have I wanted to change my mind and go back. And every once in a while, it gets real sweet, amen. It gets real sweet, amen. I'm telling you, when you get Jesus, you get it all. Amen. But let me say this. Without Jesus, you don't get none of it. Without him, there's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, not a way. Jesus said, I am the way. You say, preacher, I don't know. Preacher, this morning, I don't know. My life's chaos. I don't have peace with God. I don't know all these precious things you're talking about. I'm going to say this morning, you don't have to worry about looking for atonement and agreement and all these things. These are byproducts. If you'll just come and trust Jesus and receive the gift. If you'll take the gift that God says, here it is, here's the gift. And when you get Jesus, you get it all. It's a bonus. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, Lord, I've tried to preach what you put in my heart. And Lord, I thank you, God, for being so good to us. I pray this morning, if there be anybody here this morning that, in this room that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, God, I pray that today, right now, that you'd speak to their heart and show them the need of the Lord Jesus Christ in their life. The most important thing that they could ever know is that they know the Lord Jesus. Speak to that heart, I pray. Encourage Christians and help us in Jesus' name. Have your will and way.